I got a better one.
Mm. Have you heard about this videotape that kills you when you watch it?
What kind of tape?
A tape. A regular tape. People run it, I don't know. You start to play it, and it's like somebody's nightmare. Then suddenly, this woman comes on, smiling at you, right? Seeing you through the screen. And as soon as it's over, your phone rings. Someone knows you've watched it. And what they say is, you will die in 7 days.
7 days!
No!
Then you should have put a ring on it. If you like it, then you should have put a ring on it.
Those are the only words I know.
It's a good song.
Is it?
Yeah,
I remember
like it.
When you were little, you were trying to learn the dance to that song.
Did I? I don't remember that.
Well, you and your mom, I remember distinctly you guys being like, yeah, we're trying to learn all the moves to that dance.
That's funny. That's me and my mom.
Welcome back to the Franken Sisters podcast. I'm Hannah.
I'm Paris.
And we've had vodka.
Yes, we have.
Because it's Saturday night. No, Friday night. Don't judge me.
We're partying.
We're partying, hardying. Anyway, so tonight we are talking about The Ring.
A classic.
It is a classic. I believe it's based off the Japanese movie, which I did watch a long time ago.
Is it a Japanese movie or is it just Japanese lore? I mean, I'm sure there's a
Japanese movie. Unless,
but isn't there Japanese lore to it too?
Let me Google this right now. The Ring, Japan. Japanesco. Yeah, no, it's a Japanese movie.
Oh, okay.
I did watch it once a long time ago, but I don't remember being very impressed. I do think the American version is better.
Yeah, I mean, Japanese is for anime. Is that okay to say?
Japan is for anime?
Yes. No, they make the best anime.
They do.
They make the best cartoons.
I do, you know, I've watched a lot of foreign horror movies, and I can't say, I think that the stories are very, very good when it comes to Japanese horror, but I can't say I've ever been scared because, this is something I've noticed a lot with Japanese media, is that it tends to be on the cheesier side, which I love. I love it. I'm not saying it's bad in any way.
They have good humor.
It is, but I don't think they go for horror as much as, like, Korea does.
Or the French.
I love Korean horror movies. They are scary. They rip your heart out of your body.
I've only, Korean media, I've only seen Parasite and Squid Games, but both of those were
I've watched a lot of Korean horror movies, and that's probably one of my favorite countries that horror movies come from. I've watched also quite a few Japanese horror movies, and again, I think the stories are really, really good, but maybe execution, it's not for my Western eyes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think what us Westerners were very much so used to shock and gore, and I think horror just translates differently in.
And Korea kind of has a lot of that too.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It's interesting just how the difference between, say, Korean media or, you know, specifically horror movies or American, just how cultural impacts just how it's made and what happens in the movie and just the subject matter and how it translates. Because I have noticed that in particularly Korean media, it tends to be a lot more character focused. And I think also pretty similar with Japanese media as well. But anyway, back to The Ring, the American version. What did you think about it when you first watched it?
I actually really liked it. I think it has a very, like, early 2000s vibe to it. I kind of like really liked that green tint. I liked the way it was shot. I liked the acting. The acting from the little boy was really good.
He's creepy as fuck.
He's creepy, but he is a good actor. I can't lie.
He is a good actor, yes.
Especially for his age. And I liked the story too. The story was really good.
And there's two more movies, I believe. It's either one or two.
Yeah, it kind of ended on like a cliffhanger almost.
It does end on a cliffhanger. I remember, so that movie, it came out in 2002, and I remember when it came out, it was, everybody was talking about it, and I remember wanting to watch it so badly. And then I did watch it a couple years later after it came out, because I would have been like little.
2002? So I was born 2001. You were like 7, so you would have been like 8 or 9.
Yeah. I remember very well everybody talking about it. And yeah, I just wanted to watch it so badly, because that's the impact that it had on media. And I do, and I watched it a few years later, and I thought it was terrifying. However, watching it now as an adult, and this could be because I'm just jaded and I've watched a lot of horror movies.
It's kind of, I don't want to say hokey, but like kind of out there.
It, you know, it's not a bad movie.
No, not a bad movie at all.
It's a good movie, but it's not like, it's not on par with movies like Talk to Me or Hereditary.
Midsommar. Yeah.
But I did enjoy it. It's not unwatchable. You know,
but, no, it's, I think I like it as just like the 2000s horror movie. Yeah, that's Naomi, what I like it Watts, as. Yeah, she's so beautiful.
Kid. Naomi Watts is so beautiful. And you know what else is really interesting about the movie? What? Is that the creepy girl crawling from the well, and I think I told you this, is Lilo.
Yes, you can hear it in her voice, and like when she talks. Yeah,
and she did a lot of voice acting and acting for a long time. I don't know what happened to her.
She's also a really good actress. You know, I can see, I think a lot of child actors just get burnt out, or they grow up and they just realize it wasn't for them.
Yeah, well, and I think she's probably around my age now.
Oh, yeah.
But it is funny because it's Lilo and she's a little monster.
Yeah.
Not to spoil it. Yeah. But anyway, so without further ado, let's get into The Ring.
The Ring.
The Ring opens on a rainy night. Two schoolgirls are chatting and watching TV. Their names are Becca and Katie. One of them is Amber Tamblyn. She was in Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Never seen that.
Of course you haven't.
Both of the girls are actually very beautiful. Sorry, I'm just...
Are you lessing out tonight?
Maybe.
You're like, God, they're so beautiful. That's what alcohol does to you. Every time you drink, you're like...
Well, even when I watched it,
beautiful.
Even when we watched it last night, I was like, wow, they're beautiful girls.
Beautiful girl. It's supposed to be boy, but whatever.
Girl.
One girl asks the other girl if she's heard of a videotape. She tells her if you play it, it's like a nightmare. When the tape is over, you get a call from someone saying you'll die in 7 days. Paris, were you cognizant of like when there was VHS tapes?
Yes. I was in that. I've watched a few VHS tapes in my time.
Okay, just wondering.
There were also CDs when I was growing up, but...
DVDs?
Yes. DVDs, shit, when I was growing up, but I've had my hand in VHS tapes.
I remember when we got our first DVD player, we watched The Scorpion King on it. That's how fucking old I am. So the other girl is frightened, and she says that she had watched it. And she's troubled, and she says, after the tape was over, she got a call, which was a week ago.
Oh.
She got a call saying 7 days.
A week, you say?
A week. One week. Ooh. That's a specific number.
Yeah.
Her friend doesn't believe her, and the girls briefly separate when Katie, who is the one who had watched the tape, hears the TV on in the other room, and it's static. You know, like...
White noise.
Yes. Actually, it's not white noise. It's terrible noise. It's black noise.
Yo.
She thinks it's her friend playing a prank and turns the TV off. It turns itself back on.
Oh, no.
Katie unplugs the TV and odd things begin to happen around the house. So the fridge door is open and she hears cabinets opening behind her. And now she heads upstairs where she sees water leaking from under her door. She enters the room and sees her TV on with a picture of a well, and her face becomes distorted.
What a bad girl's night.
Not a fun girl's night. Could you imagine just you and me hanging out right now, and then one of us goes to get water, and then
we fucking die.
Or you find me and my face is all fucked up.
That would suck. That would ruin my night.
So we flash to a young boy drawing pictures in class, and we hear his mom marching down the hall, and she's on her phone, and it sounds like an important business call, and she's chewing someone out, and she's late to pick him up.
The boy kind of looks like Goop. Is that his name?
Goob?
Goob.
From Meet the Robinsons.
He's like a young one.
But
yeah.
You know what I was also...
Hey, Goob. What's up? Cool binder.
Hey, Goob. Want to come over to my house today?
They all hated me.
Kind of thinking about is that, you know, The Sixth Sense came out a couple years before this. I think it came out in like 1999. And tell me that there wasn't a period in which like young kids... were creepy.
Oh yeah, I mean The Sixth Sense popped off, and then they were like, yo, we gotta get these kids
these
that
kids
are smart
are creepy.
These like adult like kids.
Yeah, and he is a little adult.
He's just a little adult.
So the teacher wants to talk to her. She mentions how Aiden's cousin Katie died recently, 3 days ago, by the way.
Dang,
like what the fuck, why yeah. is he in school?
I know that your cousin that you're really close with died 3 days ago, but you're still going to school, kid.
You gotta draw these pictures, these little doodles, man.
I've got work to do.
And she's, you know, one thing I did notice about Rachel, so Rachel's our main character, played by Naomi Watts, and she is totally unbothered by her niece's recent death.
That is weird. I was watching that, and I was like, if my niece died, I would be distraught.
And I don't know if it's just, like, how they're trying to portray her character as someone who's kind of cold. Because that is her character.
Yeah.
She's a very...
cold, more focused on work than family.
Yes. But it's a little weird.
It is a little weird.
It's a little weird. And yeah. I don't know if that... maybe that was just kind of, like, glossed over for the plot, you know? Because she couldn't be grieving for the plot.
Yeah. To be fair, she wasn't a very good mom.
No, she was a terrible mother. Anyway, so like I said, the teacher wants to talk to her, and she mentions how Aiden's cousin Katie died recently, and that they used to spend a lot of time together. So I think Katie was Aiden's babysitter. And the teacher shows Rachel drawings of someone in a grave and expresses concern. Now, obviously, it's supposed to be Katie in a grave, but Rachel, she dismisses it. She's like, you know, well, she just died.
Well, yeah, that's just how he's coping right now.
That's how he's processing. But it turns out he had drawn the pictures a week ago.
Way before she died.
Before Katie had died. So that's weird. In bed that night, Aiden begins to worry about death. And he's like, we don't have enough time. He's very philosophical, his child.
Yeah.
We don't have enough time.
Mom, listen. We don't have enough time, man.
I don't have time for your shenanigans.
I don't have time. Be a better mom. I might die tomorrow.
I could die tomorrow. Maybe from a little girl crawling out of the well. I don't know. Spitballing here. But she's like, well, what do you mean? You have plenty of time. And he's like, well, Katie was saying that she didn't have much time. And Rachel's like, okay.
Just blows it off. Like, yeah, whatever.
And he also says that Katie knew when she was going to die. Also, I should add, he calls his mom Rachel.
Yeah, he does call her by her first name.
Rachel.
Which shows, like, how negligent she is.
Also, like, what the fuck, Rachel?
Rachel, come on.
It's not hard to have your... even the worst moms in the world get called mom.
Yeah, come on.
Rachel.
I can think of a few.
What are you doing? They go to Katie's funeral. Katie's mom, who is Rachel's sister, doesn't understand why Katie died. She's been doing research, but she can't find anything that explains Katie's death, right? Because
I spent 4 hours on the internet, and I couldn't find one single case of a 16-year-old girl's heart just stopping. I spoke to 3 different doctors, and not one of them could tell me exactly what happened to my daughter. She was close with you.
And Aiden.
She confided in you.
Yeah, but she never said anything. Nothing that would explain what happened.
You could find out. It's what you do, isn't it? Ask questions. Rachel, please. I saw her face.
She died in a really inexplicable way, right? Her face is deformed, and there's not an apparent cause of death other than her heart just stopped beating.
Yeah, her heart just stopped beating. I guess that's case closed.
That's all you need to know. She asks Rachel to investigate because Rachel is a journalist. So she's like, all right, I gotta do what I gotta do. I will find out.
I will do my job. Thanks for telling me to do my job because I was gonna do it anyway.
She's like, I smell a good story here.
Isn't that kind of like her sister's like, you know, you should investigate this because nobody's investigating this and this is your job, right? It's like she heard her job and she's like, this is my job. I should write about this.
You're right.
When it's like, I don't think her sister meant that. I think she just meant use your investigation skills to find out for the family.
She was like, I need to write an article about this. No, Rachel.
Your sister asked because she wants to know how her daughter died, not so you can get a story and get paid.
She needs closure. So out in the backyard at the funeral, Rachel asks Katie's friends about what's going on in her life. Well, you know, what was she doing around the time of her death? And one of the friends says it was because of the tape and that Katie's boyfriend also died that same night and that they had watched this mystery tape together. Now Rachel snoops around Katie's room and
but you know who's in that friend group?
Adam Brody.
Through the trees
I will find you.
Yeah, he's
I'm
in this movie.
Still here breathing now.
I'm still here.
He had such a small role in this.
He did, but he was there.
Kind of sad. Anyway. So Rachel snoops around Katie's room and she finds, I don't even know what they are. It's like tickets or something, or maybe a receipt of some kind. And it has addresses for this photography development company. The next day, Rachel picks up the developed photos and she sees, while she's looking through these pictures, that the faces of Katie and her friends are distorted.
They're warped. They're fucked.
They're all fucked up. Rachel investigates Katie's boyfriend's death, where she learns he jumped off a building.
Yikes.
That's weird. She heads to the cabin. Okay, so in the pictures also, I guess I should mention, she sees that they're at this specific cabin. So she goes to that cabin.
A cabin in the woods, would you say?
It is a cabin in the woods. Hmm. In the office of the cabin, Rachel asks the concierge about the room the teens stayed in. He tells her that they had complained about the TV's lack of reception. Or what is it? Like, what is it? What was it used? What did it used to be called? When a TV that was connected to cable didn't get...
Don't ask me.
I don't want to say reception, but signal.
They didn't get signal.
Any,
signal's
they didn't
good
get
one.
Any signals. But he did have all these VHS tapes that they could watch. Super fun. And
he was like, ah, it's just... People leave them here. It's just lost and found.
I used to live at an apartment complex like that.
Where they just had like lots
of... Not VHS, but DVDs. Because we were really young and poor. And so at the manager's office, there was just a bunch of DVDs that you could just borrow.
Lost and found?
No, it wasn't lost
oh,
and found.
Oh, they just had it? Just, yeah, that is DVDs. So funny.
I watched a lot of good movies, though, from that selection, I will say. But so Rachel spots an unmarked tape. And she asks if she can stay in the room that the teens had stayed in, which was room 12. So she goes to the room and she watches this videotape and it's shots of a chair that's like, it's spinning and there's a woman in a mirror and a little girl and a well and just all sorts of weird shit.
I wonder how this tape came to be. Like, well, obviously it's like a paranormal tape, but like how?
It came to be.
How did it come?
Shut up. I can't tell you because that ruins the movie. And well, once I start to get over certain parts, I think you'll be like, ah, yes.
Okay. Right. It'll make sense.
It'll make sense.
It'll put together.
But it is a weird tape, but it's also kind of funny because it's like, I feel like they were trying to make something really spooky.
It's just kind of stupid.
And there's like a centipede crawling around. And
it's kind of like a YouTube video that's trying to be like cinematic. They're like, this is deep.
And
I'm 14
scary.
And this is deep.
It's so spooky. So the tape ends and the phone rings and Rachel answers and a voice tells her,
7 days.
The next day, Rachel continues her investigation. She invites a handsome man over to check out the photograph with the blurred faces.
And he is handsome.
Handsome.
He's a handsome man.
Now, presumably, he is some sort of photographer. And he's like, yeah, I mean, that's weird, but whatever. And so she asks him to take a picture of her, and her face is also blurred.
But, you know, as the man in a horror film, he...
Horror milf.
As a man in a horror milf.
Yeah.
As a man in a... Yeah, you would. As a man in a horror film...
Deny.
No, you're crazy.
She tells him about the tape and how 4 kids had died because of it. He doesn't believe her and insists he views the tape. And she lets him watch it. Now, she is hesitant to let him watch it, but ultimately she's like, all right, fine.
I think she kind of has an idea of what's like kind of going on, but she's also not too sure.
Yeah, she's not totally sold on the idea. He finishes watching it and he tells her it's just a student film. And that is what it looks like. It's like a student film, right?
Yes.
And the phone rings and she doesn't answer because she's obviously spooked.
She's like, nah, bro.
Nah, man. I don't want to know.
Maybe he should have picked up the phone.
He should have.
And he could have believed her way sooner.
Yeah,
maybe.
But she lets it go to voicemail. She wants him to find out who made it and where it came from. The next day. Oh, also after he leaves her apartment, there's one voicemail on her machine and she deletes it. She doesn't listen to it. So,
yeah. I mean, I would do that too. I'd be like, you know what? Maybe if I don't answer this, it won't happen.
You know, I think I would answer and listen probably.
That's, you know what? Out of curiosity, I probably will too. But
it's just, and then I would have made him answer the phone so I can be like, hey,
see, bitch.
It's spooky.
I ain't lying.
Isn't that weird? Having watched this VHS tape, and now we're getting this mysterious phone call from somebody we don't even know, we can't see. Weird. The next day, Rachel brings Noah, oh, that's his name, Noah, a copy of the tape. He tells her something about the tape is all wrong. I don't know specifically. I mean, he goes on a rant. He's like, these numbers, they're like, da 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 da. Did you gather what he was saying?
He was like, these numbers aren't, well, because when she made the copy, you could see that there were actually, like, no numbers on, yeah, like, the explain recording the thing. Yeah. So he was like, the numbers, they're not right.
Or he was like, when you make a tape, it's like a fingerprint. And this doesn't have a fingerprint or something. I don't know. It's probably all bullshit anyway.
Yeah.
It's like asking me to explain the plot of Interstellar.
It's
nonsense.
Instead of just being like, yo, it's like a fingerprint, he could have obviously just said, yo, there's no numbers on this tape. This tape doesn't track numbers. That's weird.
Why are you trying to make me feel stupid, Noah?
That's just what men do.
That's true. The next day, which is the third day for Rachel, she visits Becca, who was the woman, who was the girl earlier in the film, who was Katie's friend at the house. She's in a mental hospital after finding Katie's disfigured body. Becca refuses to answer any questions about Katie, but she does tell her she will show you who is.
She told you about a videotape, didn't she? She was afraid, wasn't she? Something was happening to her. Becca, how did she die? Please, I need to know.
And you will. She'll show you.
Who? Who will show me?
We don't know. And also she's like, you got 4 days.
You got 4 days, by the
you
way.
You got 4 days, bitch. Using the equipment at work, Rachel explores the tape more, where she sees a lighthouse in a frame. She pauses on that frame, and it had a fly in it every time she'd watched it. And now she is able to pick the fly off of the TV.
Ooh.
Isn't that weird?
And she gets a nosebleed.
And she gets a nosebleed, but it's almost like stuff is coming out of the TV.
Crazy.
That's weird. So weird. She is able to find a picture of that same lighthouse at the library and finds its location. She looks up said lighthouse on the internet and finds a picture of the woman from the tape. Anna Morgan is her name. And I also think it's funny because it wasn't supposed to be that long ago, but they have...
Like 1978.
Yeah, they have her dressed in, like, Victorian clothes.
To make it be, like, older and creepier, like, but...
her... yeah, it's weird.
These guys must be Amish or something.
Yeah, that's what it is. They're Amish. She discovers she had a ranch, a horse ranch, and she was a breeder of horses. When suddenly, a mysterious illness killed all the horses. Anna was a... Oh, fuck. Oh, Anna killed herself.
Ah!
Sorry, I just beelined for that one.
Like the horses.
Yeah!
There's this weird...
She hasn't learned that yet, but yeah, the horses are just yeeting themselves into the ocean.
I do kind of like... They're like, there's this weird disease that killed off the horses, but it's like, yeah, the disease is suicide.
Yeah, that's true. They just killed themselves in the ocean, which I guess we'll cross that bridge when we burn it.
Yeah.
On day 5, Noah is at the store and sees himself in the security video and notices his face is blurred. Now, he hasn't really believed her, Rachel, this whole time. But after he sees that, he's like, oh.
Aw. And then the cashier girl, she's like, you're going to die.
You're going to die. But it's because he's buying cigarettes.
And it's true.
And it's true. That's a bad way to run a business, though.
Yeah.
Buying cigarettes, and she's like, you're going to die if you drink that, or smoke that. I was thinking maybe we should have another shot of vodka.
Dude, I was kind of really disappointed that you didn't bring the vodka in here.
We're back with vodka.
Vodka.
We're taking these shots right
now. Yes, we are.
Hold on a second. I can breathe fire right now. So at home, Rachel is drinking some water and she starts to choke on it and she pulls out a string with an electrode attached to it from her throat.
I'm not gonna lie, I have to gag at this part because it first looks like hair.
I thought it was hair too.
And it's hair in my mouth is so like...
I think hair would have been spookier. They should have gone with that.
Yeah, they should have.
Honestly. So she goes to check on Aiden and she sees a girl sitting in a chair in Aiden's room. And the girl grabs her arm and Rachel sees a vision of a mental hospital. So she wakes up only to realize it was a dream. But she has a handprint bruise on her arm. She goes to check on Aiden, not in a dream, but she finds him watching the tape. Aiden! What the fuck? What?
Aiden.
He's like, I couldn't sleep.
Yeah, well, why won't you watch, like, a Disney movie
Why
or
are
something?
You watching this unmarked tape with weird shit on it?
It could have been two girls, one cup, Aiden. It could have been two girls, one
why
cup,
are
and you would have been scarred.
This? He's scarred anyway now. Fuck, Aiden. God.
Aiden, it could have been my super kinky furry sex tape. Shit.
Yeah, Aiden, your mom's a single MILF, okay? You don't know what she has laying around.
Yeah. She could have real kinky porn on there.
So, where was I? They get a phone call, but it turns out it's Noah calling her to tell her that he believes her. Now, why do you think that he didn't get, or maybe they called and then she didn't answer, right?
Yes, because I think she thought like
it she
was.
Hangs up and then she answers the second time. Okay, I answered my own question. Also, we learn that Noah is Aiden's dad.
Dun, says, dun, dad. Dun.
Noah tells Aiden. Okay, so a little
I
bit
have,
later.
I have thoughts about this now. Now that I've thought about it and I've read more about it, it is weird that this kid has brown eyes and the two parents have blue eyes.
See, you made fun of me. You were like, when I pointed that out in the movie, because Rachel and Noah both have blue eyes and green eyes, and Aiden has brown eyes, and I was like, that's suspicious.
And you were like, you just don't know how genetics work.
Listen, stupid, you stupid fucking buffoon. That's what you said.
Okay, I didn't say that. Oh my God.
That's what it felt like.
Okay, it's not impossible, but it is extremely rare.
Who's stupid now?
Me.
Paris. You. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So they're sitting in the car together, Noah and Aiden. And Aiden's like, what is even this conversation? Basically, it's Noah being like, do you want me around? And Aiden's like, yeah, that would be nice. But Noah's like, I just feel like I might not be a good dad. Sorry.
Sorry, so I was absent.
See you when you're grown up.
Contact me when you're like 20.
If you grow up.
If you don't die before that, contact me when you're 20.
Now, okay, so this is on their way. They're traveling to a lighthouse, and Rachel only has one day left. She continues her investigation and learns Anna Morgan had a daughter. She's on a ferry and says hi to a horse in a container. I don't know what they're called, like a trailer.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Now, fuck. I'm choking up an electrode. Sorry. Nah, it's just the vodka, I think.
Oh, I really thought you were choking up an electrode. Shit.
No. So the horse gets distressed and he breaks free from this container. And then he jumps off the ferry. He jumps off the ferry into the water.
He just yeets. He yeets himself.
He gets torn to shreds by the propeller.
And then you can see the blood coming out of the back. Yeah. And like there's a
and everyone's girl watching. Child. Meanwhile, Noah is investigating records at the mental hospital. Rachel locates Anna Morgan's horse farm where she finds a man working. She tells him she's a journalist and wants to ask some questions. He tells her about how the horses killed themselves by running into the water. Interesting. In the house, she finds the mirror from the tape. And also, she just sees a lot of imagery from the tape. So she knows she's in the right spot. She pulls out the tape and asks him about it and says she thinks it's a message from his wife. He suddenly doesn't want to answer questions anymore. She asks him where his daughter is, and he says he doesn't have a daughter and to leave it alone. Noah finds Anna's records, which states that Anna had multiple miscarriages, but had a daughter named Samara, who had...
Samara.
Well, that's a stupid name. Sorry.
I like Samara.
Samara.
I like Samara.
Samara.
Hey. Samara.
Yeah, Samara.
Hi, Samara.
Who had... She has sessions of some kind, and it doesn't really specify at this point. Well, okay. Actually, never mind. He's at a mental hospital, so she was having sessions at this mental hospital. Rachel sees a doctor on the island and inquires about Samara. Samurai.
His question about samurai.
Samara. She says that they had adopted Samara. Samara. After multiple miscarriages, but it was kind of a mysterious adoption.
Anna, where did they adopt her from?
Exactly. Where did she come from?
If it's mysterious, where?
Anna had come to the doctor saying she had been seeing awful visions when she was around
Samara.
Samara.
Got it the first time.
That she... And that Samara.
Jesus, Hannah. What the fuck? Okay, just choose one.
Sam. I'll just call her Sam. That she had put them there. She says that her daughter had put these terrible visions in her head. The doctor referred Anna and Samara to a psychiatrist hospital on the mainland.
Oh.
I see your judgment. The doctor says that since Samara.
It's just Samara.
Left. The island suffers less.
Yeah, I see that. She was creepy anyway.
She was creepy. So, Noah tries to find a tape at the hospital, but discovers that the father had checked it out. Now, this tape basically had sessions with Samara on it.
Why are you doing that?
Because it's a weird name.
It's really not.
It's a weird name. I feel like I can't say it.
Samara.
Now, okay, yeah, so she discovers that the father had checked it out. Rachel goes back to the father's house and finds Samara's birth certificate and the tape from the hospital that Noah was looking for. On the tape, we learn that Samara doesn't sleep and that there are mysterious pictures. The doctor asks how she makes them. She says she doesn't make them. She just thinks of them, and they are. Samara says she...
Samara, Let's talk about the pictures. How did you make them? Samara, how did you make these pictures?
I don't make them. I see them. They just are.
Samara, I need you to start telling me the truth, okay?
Can I see my mommy?
No, Samara, not until we understand what's wrong with you.
I love my mommy.
Yes, you do. But you don't want to hurt her anymore now, do you? You don't want to hurt anyone.
But I do, and I'm sorry. It won't stop.
Well, that's why you're here. So that I can help you to make it stop.
She wants to hurt people, and that her dad wants her to go away. The dad finds her watching the tape, and he whips her with, like, an extension cord on the face, and he says the visions won't stop and that she never sleeps. He electrocutes himself with a TV in the bathtub.
You know, he could have just used a toaster.
Yeah.
Easy.
I think the TV's kind of poetic.
It's poetic, but it's like it's a big setup. Like, it's not just a TV. It's like a really big setup when he could have just been simple and just used a toaster.
Or, you know, he's on a farm. I'm sure there's like a gun somewhere.
Yeah, he could have jumped off the cliff.
There's a lot of things he could have done, I guess. So after he electrocutes himself, Noah shows up to tell her that the missing tape from the mental hospital had been checked out in the father's name. So he goes to the island to tell her that, and he finds her at the house. And now they're investigating the property together, and they go to check out the barn, and they see a ladder. A tall ladder, which was featured in the video. Yeah, the tape. And they go up and they see it's like a little room. It's got a TV and a bed and a chair.
It looks cold.
Yeah. It's sad.
It's very sad.
It's very sad. But they put wallpaper in it. And behind the wallpaper, they find a tree burned into a wall. Like a picture of a tree. And Rachel knows exactly where this tree is. It's now the final day for Rachel, and they're back at the cabin where the tree is. They are in the room from earlier in the movie, in the cabin, room 12. And a vase of marbles is knocked over, and they pool into a specific spot. They remove the rug and see a ring. Noah destroys the floor where underneath they find a well, which I think it's kind of funny that he's just fucking this cabin room up.
Yeah.
He's just tearing the floor out.
Wouldn't he
have
to pay for this, like, afterwards?
Damages? It's life or death, I guess.
Yeah. No. I guess so, yeah. But, like, how is he going to explain that to, like, the owner?
Well,
listen, I watched this tape and we were going to die because of the tape, so I had to rip your floorboards up and fuck up your place.
Well, I mean, I guess after I tell all this stuff, it probably will seem kind of irrelevant, you know what I mean, as
yeah.
to why. Although,
yeah.
how do they... Never mind. You know what? We'll circle back to that. So they go and they check out this well and they, you know, they push the top off and a bunch of flies fly out of the well, which, okay, this well has been sealed for I don't know how long.
Since 78.
Yeah, and a bunch of flies come out of it.
Yeah, how
make that make sense?
Paranormal flies.
From that's the afterlife. Just
they're
not
demons.
Realistic. Now, while this is happening, the TV starts leaking water.
What? TVs don't do
because
that.
It's Rachel's final day.
Also,
yeah. TVs
Shit.
Don't leak water.
They don't
and
leak water.
Screws,
if your TV's leaking water, leave.
You should see an electrician. And screws start to come undone, and the TV starts sliding, and it hits Rachel in kind of a cartoonish fashion, if I'm being honest, but it knocks her into the well.
Damn.
Oh, no.
Good thing there's no water in that well.
Yeah, she survives, and it's like a long well, too.
Yeah.
So that's weird, but okay. So Noah goes to find something to get her out, and at the bottom of the well, Rachel sees scratch marks and nails in the wall. She looks up and sees the lid is being put back on, but not by Noah. Who could it be? Rachel sees hair in the water, and a hand grabs her, and she sees a vision. It's Samara, standing at the well. It's a flashback, by the way. And her mom goes to talk to her, and she puts a bag over her head and suffocates her and throws her into the well.
She was like, I've always wanted you. Well, she's like suffocating her.
But also, fuck you, you weird kid.
But go die.
So it turns out after she gets thrown in the well, she's still alive. She was alive when she was thrown in.
That sucks.
Now, back in the present, the body of the girl resurfaces and Rachel cradles her and tells her it's okay now. The body decomposes into a skeleton. The cops are called. Rachel is out of the well and Noah tells her, Samara will be buried next week. Rachel says, Samara just wanted to be heard. She just wanted to be heard. That's why she killed all those people.
Totally. That's totally the truth.
Just a misunderstanding. She's just misunderstood. Now, Noah asks her how long someone could survive in a well like that. And Rachel says,
7 days.
7 days. 7 days. Rachel, look what I wrote. The Rachel shad 7 days.
She shat 7 days.
She shad. The next day, Aiden wakes up in bed with Rachel. So now she's kind of has a renewed sense of, you know, motherly love.
She was like, God damn, I should probably be a mom.
You know, this mom killed her kid. Because Rachel's like, oh man, this poor girl, Samara.
She has more sympathy for this girl than her son.
Well, she's like, man, her own mom killed her. How sad. Maybe I should try to spend more time with my child. My fucking weird kid.
You know? By the way, we didn't mention this, but this child made himself breakfast, took himself to school, read the babysitter.
He's a little man.
Yeah.
Oh, and we also didn't mention that he has some sort of psychic connection with Samara? And so he kind of like, I don't know, it's weird. It's a weird thing, but he's like, yeah, she said this. She said that. I don't know. But anyway, the next day, Aiden wakes up in bed with Rachel next to him, and he asks her what happened to the girl. She says that they set her free, and Aiden's like, what? What did you do now?
Why did you do that, what you dumb now? Bitch?
And he's like, you weren't supposed to help her. And
God, Mom, I didn't know you were such a dumb bitch.
Fuck. And that she never sleeps. So, what? At Noah's house, the static TV turns on. He turns it off. And it turns back on with a well on the screen. Samara.
I'm gonna kill you.
Climbs out of the well. Stop with your homicidal tendencies, Paris.
Oh, sorry.
It's disturbing.
You know, I always have those.
Yeah, stop it.
My bad. It might be inappropriate.
Samara climbs out of the well and out of the TV and gives Noah the stink eye.
By the way, Noah has a fit on. He's got jeans and flip-flops on.
In Seattle. In rainy-ass Seattle. It's like fall. But yeah, it's typical white guy attire.
Yeah.
Anyway, Rachel rushes to his place to tell him what Aiden had said, where she finds his disfigured body in water everywhere.
Yikes.
Rut-row. And she leaves. But I think it's really funny because there was a girl who was at Noah's house earlier in the movie.
It was kind of insinuated that they were, like, interested in each other or dating.
That they were kind of, like, dating or something. And she sees her there, and she's obviously going up to his apartment. And she's like,
I'm gonna hide in the corner.
I'm just gonna let you find that. Like, what the fuck? Rachel, why'd you do that?
Traumatize this bitch.
You're just letting this woman get traumatized. So she goes back home and burns the tape. And she's asking, why not her? And what did she do different from Noah that to not die? But she realizes it's because she had made a copy of the tape and showed it to somebody else, right? Because she said, like, oh, you know, oh, Samara just wants to be heard. But so it's because she had made a copy and she had spread the good word that Samara had spared her life. So she makes Aiden watch it to spare his. He asks what happens to the person they show it to next. And then the movie ends. Cliffhanger. That is the end of The Ring. Now, let's... Let's Google really quick what happens in The Ring 2.
I would like if they were to explain what Samara is more. Like, is she just a crazy child? Was she born paranormal?
Well, she had psychic abilities. She's from hell. I don't know.
And, like, what's the... Why is her adoption so mysterious? Like, what is she? Who is she?
So, okay, this is... I'm reading this from Wikipedia. It says... 6 months after the events of the first film, the cursed videotape has been circulating through teenagers in Astoria, Oregon. Beautiful place. Okay, so yeah, Rachel has found herself in the well Samara died in. Rachel discovers the lid is partially open. She scales the well's walls, pursued by Samara, but escapes by climbing out and pushing the lid shut on Samara, locking her out of her and Aiden's lives. Wandering through the woods, she comes to the cliff where Samara's adoptive mother, Anna, committed suicide. Hearing Aiden's voice, Rachel falls off a cliff and falls into the water, returning to the real world, reuniting with Aiden.
I wonder if The Ring 2 explains what Samara is.
I'm sure it does. I'll read more later.
Yeah. I think that's the only gripe I have with this movie, because, to be honest, I don't think it needed a sequel. Sure, like, the sequel is more of, like, a money grab, but...
Yeah, they could have left it on a cliffhanger.
But I would have liked just, like, not, at, like, too in detail, but just to be, like, yeah, this girl was a demon, or this girl was, like, while she was alive.
Yeah.
You know, but...
Not a bad movie.
Not a bad movie.
Not a bad movie.
Not a bad movie.
Well, this has been Drunk Podcasting. How you feeling, Paris?
Feeling good.
You as tipsy as I am?
No, you look way more tipsy than I do.
Oh, rad. Well, anyway, I'm going to go watch this tape I found. You want to watch it with me?
Yeah, totally.
Cool.
So down.
We'll see you next time.
See ya.